So this is part six in an ongoing series of looking at how we transform our lives, moving from life happens to me and therefore sometimes I can be a victim to life happens by me, so I can decide what I want to create for my life, to life happens through me, I can be an avenue through which the divine expresses, and ultimately life happens as me. I am source. That there's a dimension of our beingness that we have to awaken to where we are completely, totally one with God. And we're talking about this this transformational process as a journey and looking at those stages as a roadmap. And today I'm wanting to really dive into the second stage where we're trying to manifest a greater good. And looking at just how that happens, and how can we go from having a desire that really is in alignment with our purpose and passion, and bring that thing forth without having to go out there to get it, but rather to discover a way in which we can inhabit a dimension of ourself that enables that to be welcomed into our life. It finds us, in other words. So, how is this possible? And so I'm wanting today to describe how that's working for Jane and me, and for us to kind of understand that these spiritual practices really have power, and they can indeed transform our lives. But we have to begin with the question of really looking at where we find our well-being and worth. Now, where is it? And as we look to Scripture, I mentioned last time that Jesus told his disciples, you know, don't invest your energy in don't invest who you are, your well-being and worth in things of the world. Lay not your treasures on earth, but in heaven. And so when Jesus talks about our treasure, he's talking about where we're finding our well-being and worth. And if it's out there, then we're likely not to find very much satisfaction, because out there is where all the things are that affect whether or not we feel okay or safe about ourselves. And that is problematic because it keeps us focused on how things look and feel as opposed to our capacity to create something that is in alignment with our purpose and passion. So as we begin this conversation looking at our self as treasure, and looking at what Jesus means by not sourcing your well-being out there, but rather sourcing it within this dimension that he calls the kingdom of heaven, we're in a struggle to try to kind of figure that out, but we can't necessarily use the same circuitry to figure out how we're one with God until we step outside of our habits of being, our habits of being in the activity of trying to acquire some sense of our worth by virtue of our trying to make something happen outside of ourselves. And so when we make the mistake believing that the source of our well-being or the source of our discomfort is out there in the world, then we try to focus on trying to make the world happen differently in relationship to ourselves. And so if we understand that where our treasure is, in other words, where we're looking for a sense of our identity and worth, that's where we're going to be kind of centered in the context of whether or not our life is working for us. And so when we recognize that whenever we are placing the burden of our well-being on external circumstances, we're putting our heart out there instead of recognizing that our heart is a portal. It is a dimensional portal that we can have access to that part of ourself that is not caught up in the habits of being who we are not. And so as we look at things like, for instance, unworthiness or our sense of not enough, how did that happen? That we acquired that? That we took those beliefs on as if that they're the truth of us? Well, as we understand that our worthiness, whenever it is conditioned upon how our life looks and feels, then we're kind of set up to have our life be somewhat disappointing or limiting. Can you see how that's so? Whenever we place our well-being and worth contingent upon something happening out there, we are setting ourselves up to be a victim. Because out there cannot be an adequate mirror for the truth of who we are. And so if you just think for a moment, as I think for a moment about how my unworthiness and not a sense of not enough, how I took that on as a part of my identity, we can understand that things have happened in our life to us. Excuse me, I'm a little tipsy here. things have happened to us. No, not tipsy that way. When we realize that our unworthiness and our sense of not enough is always entangled in the experiences, the things that have happened to us, and the things that we have caused that have produced some form of regret or hurt or shame or disappointment, that's why we have those feelings of inadequacy or unworthiness or not enough, by virtue of the experiences that we have. And while we've had experiences, those experiences aren't who we are. They're things that we have that has happened to us. And yet, if we don't understand that our unworthiness is really a systemic phenomenon of the circuitry of ourself. Remember the circuits that I've talked about, our habits of being? So as we understand that we have this unconscious self, and the circuitry that runs us when we're unconscious has us locked into behaviors and ways of being that are tied to our past. And if we don't understand that we have to step out of this kind of unconscious way of being with what's happening in our life, and begin to intentionally create the life that fulfills and serves a greater good, until we understand that we have to work with this body-mind process and the circuits that define us, we simply have to step out of the circuits that have tied us to the sense, the experiences that are linked to those feelings of shame, disappointment, unworthiness, not good enough. Because when we step into consciously, intentionally being with what we're having, we find that there's no such thing as not enough or unworthiness. And so as we begin to understand that our unworthiness, our sense of not enough, lives entirely in the context of our conditioned self, our unconscious self, the moment that we begin to exercise those circuits intentionally, we begin to find that we're in a relationship to the field of infinite possibilities where without unworthiness and not enough, without that being a part of our creative process, things begin to come into our life effortlessly. So that's what I'm trying to describe. Hang in there. So Brené Brown says there are no prerequisites to worthiness. And so if you think about anything that has happened in your life that is affected by how you value yourself, we can understand how integral our sense of valuing ourselves is to almost everything that's important to us. And the fact of the matter is that when we have unworthiness, we don't receive very well, and we don't give very well either. But when we have when we're grounded in a sense of worthiness, we want to gift the entire world with that state, that feeling, that expression. And so if in understanding that the circuits or our sense of, oh, wait a minute, what happened here? Okay, so this popped in because, so you remember last time I talked that I shared a mind movie? And within the mind movie was this vehicle, this rig. It's a truck and a camper, because part of our purpose and passion is to be able to visit our grandkids in Canada. And this is a part of what we're wanting to create together. And interestingly enough, I created this little clip for my mind movie 3 weeks ago. And guess what showed up in our garage? An early Christmas present. We got the truck. Okay, so I have to kind of remind you, remember, A few talks ago, I mentioned how I, a year and a half ago, was looking for extra money, and I even became a Lyft driver for 6 weeks in order just to get a little extra cash. Well, for it to be possible that 3 days ago, we drive home with a brand new 2019 Ford F-250 truck that barely fits into our... For us to have accomplished that, all the things that I talked about with respect to our indebtedness, medical bills, all that stuff had to be addressed, right? They wouldn't let us go out of the showroom with otherwise. So I'm wanting to describe not how we manifested a truck as our Christmas present. I'm wanting to describe what took place inside that enabled that to happen with so much ease. Because have you ever purchased a vehicle before? Yes. And has it been a real fun experience? And have you ever gone and discovered that you can't afford what you really want? And so if you've ever been in that dynamic, you can sort of see unworthiness kind of right on the edge, or you're not enough, right on the edge. And so what would happen, what would you imagine happening if we didn't go into our unworthiness? We didn't dip into those circuits that are all about the past, all about us, what happens. Instead, be present in the intent that if this is going to serve a greater good in our lives, it should come to us. And so what happened is we went to the dealership and we just said, how much does this cost with all the stuff in it? And they told us, and we said, okay. And then how much will you give to give us for our Toyota truck? And they praised it, and we said okay. We didn't at one time ask for a lower price. We didn't know if we could afford it yet. But the point is that we decided how we're going to be in the intent and not let our past self talk us into a sense of not enough. Bless you. So, I'm going to continue with the story a bit, but I want to reiterate that part of the challenge is that we have to understand that our body-mind process is a circuitry, a self-system, and that self-system can be conditioned or it can be awake. And so if we understand that there's a difference between how we're conditioned to be and using the circuits consciously, we will see that in the conscious application of what is already our standard equipment, there is a place where we can be in our way of being with what's going on with no unworthiness, with no sense of not enough. We just have to know how to work the circuits, and we have to do it consciously. Because every time we feel a sense of discomfort, we need to know that's the old circuits, our old habits of being running us, telling us we're not good enough. And the moment that we step into a clarity with respect to being with what we have authentically, intentionally being about fulfilling that state of being of who we've come here to be, intentionally having our life as if it's for us, knowing that what is before us is only against us in the old system. And then being conscious and intentional with feeling into, how do I want to feel when I'm going into talking to the salespeople? How do I want to feel when I hear the news about how much they're going to give us for the trade-in? And so it's reworking how we are being with the very same experiences and not going to those parts of ourself that will talk us into believing that we're not good enough. So I'm going to go into more detail at another time, but I'm wanting to tell the story. And Jane's going to help me tell this story in just a minute. But I'm wanting to convey that there's a choice between these two circuits, these two ways of seeing how our self operates. The upper part is all us being run by our programming. The lower part is us intentionally working these circuits in alignment with our purpose and passion so that What our greater good is, it comes to us as opposed to we having to force it into being. So I'm going to talk to you about how the truck came to us. I think I'm ready to do that. Let's see. Nope. Yep, I'm ready to do that. Let's go back to this. So under normal circumstances, Jane and I would have quite the conversation about whether or not we can afford this, whether or not this is the thing to do, and so we had to work within ourselves to really get in alignment with the intent to work this process together. So every time I felt a sense that, oh, can you really afford that? I recognized this, it was the upper part of the running that conversation. And so I immediately dropped into, okay, who do I need to be with what I'm having right now in the context of this question, can I afford this? Well, I'm going to be in the experience of knowing that if this is meant to be, we'll be able to do it with ease. If there's any difficulty that comes from out there, it's not meant to be. And so we completely relaxed into allowing what was possible to flow forth. And then there was the frozen credit problem. You know, with Equifax. Well, you can come up there. So we had the challenge, you know, when the Equifax got hacked, we locked all of our credit. And so in the course of having to see if we could afford this vehicle, we had to have our credit unlocked. And that was a hard thing to do, but so we did a to-done list. And we described how we're going to feel at the end of our process of unlocking our credit. Because that was a hard thing. And so I was able to unlock mine with ease, but the problem was her credit would not unlock.
Yeah, I was the problem. My credit would not unlock no matter what we did. It just wouldn't work. And so, but then I had to look at that, and I realized something, that I was resisting the purchase of this truck. Now, if we had been going out to buy a new electric car, I would have been doing cartwheels the whole way. But no, we were buying this big honking truck. And it was not something that I was kind of dragging my feet. I will admit it. I had to fess up. And so I thought about it, and I realized it. If we were going to have a camper, we had to get this truck. And so I worked with that. And then I consciously noticed the resistance, and I let it go. And I came on board. I became in alignment with what we were doing. Shifted my whole internal state so that I was joining Gary on this path of being excited and happy about it. So we drove home, and Gary sat down at the computer and he said, "Your credit just unlocked." So I had to fess up that I was the reason it was locked in the first place. And in that moment, I saw the power of shifting your internal state to be in alignment with what it is you want to come forth. It just happened exactly like that. And I got to tell you, that was the best Christmas present I could have ever gotten, was that moment.
Yes. So in the story, I could talk about all the money that we manifested to pay off many of those bills. And I can talk about, you know, how we can afford the truck, but that's not the point. The point is that I'm wanting us to see that we can actually transcend all the limitations that we have created for ourselves if we just understand the mechanics of our self system, the circuitry. And for me, the practice is really simple. If you'll just do a to-done list, just describe what you're wanting to experience at the end of a process or at the end of a goal, and begin to just feel your way into it one step at a time. And in addition to that, of course, there's a ton more that goes behind really being able to optimize your ability to use this. The cue process is important because it helps train your brain to not give the outer the capacity to define who you're going to be. It gives you an awareness that you can choose to rewrite within yourself what you're telling yourself. And in addition, all the Dr. Joe stuff is really focused on helping you to understand that you work with the entire, you have to recondition your body to the new circuits that you want to exercise. So there's much more to say about actually using this, and I'm going to, at the end of this series, create a class where we're just going to focus on how these circuits can be worked and how we can intentionally work with each aspect of ourselves. So the point that I'm trying to make is that it wasn't the truck that was the Christmas present. It was what we experience within ourselves that taught us that if you get to the right place within yourself and really come from an intentionality that lives in the context of your purpose and passion, it will come to you. It will find you. But not if the old circuits are trying to tell you, it's never going to happen to you. You're not the one. And that voice is still in my head, but it's growing fainter and fainter and fainter. And that's the effort. God bless. Oh, wait. There's more. Sorry. All right. That's not it. There's more. That's right. Be more. Okay. All right. So let me just give you something to consider. Notice when you become emotionally altered and how that happens. So in other words, you want to begin to pay attention whenever you feel triggered and the circumstances. So you begin to understand what was going on to set you up, maybe. And then consider how your state, bless you, consider how your state arises from what you are having as your experience. In other words, our state seems to be created by what we're having as our experience. And that's not good. We should be creating our experience by how we're being with what we're having. And then notice the story you tell yourself when you're in that triggering moment. And that's your self system running unconsciously. That chatter is the old habits of being circuitry. Then who do you need to be in order to feel empowered by what you're having? That flips you into the conscious intentionality around those circuits. And then repeat as necessary. God bless you.
Thank you, Dr. Gary. Per usual, I